Hi, everybody. This is The Takeaway. I'm Sean Carlson in for Tanzina Vega. Since 2017, hundreds of thousands of Rohingya, a Muslim ethnic minority in Myanmar, have fled as the country's military attacked their villages, sexually assaulting women and killing thousands. The military claimed those attacks were in the name of counterterrorism and that they were attempting to stop a Rohingya insurgent group. Human rights leaders throughout the world have condemned Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi for not speaking out against the military's actions and stopping the atrocities. Earlier this month, Suu Kyi testified at the International Court of Justice and, with the global audience, denied accusations of genocide against her country.
Please bear in mind this complex situation and the challenge to sovereignty and security in our country when you are assessing the intent of those who attempted to deal with the rebellion. Surely, under the circumstances, genocidal intent cannot be the only hypothesis.
We got a chance to talk with Nay San Lwin. He's a Rohingya in exile and the co-founder of the Free Rohingya Coalition. He was at the International Court of Justice at The Hague earlier this month and began by telling us about the scene there.
There were about more than 200 Rohingya gathered there outside of the court. And first day and second day, there were protests. But a few Rohingya, including myself, were inside the court. So on the first day, on 10 December, she had the chance to listen full presentation of the Gambier. And, you know, we were very much expecting from her as she had the chance to listen the full 3-hour presentation, because, you know, most of the diplomatic community are saying she was not well informed. But on December 10, she was well informed about the plight of the Rohingya, how the her military were brutal against the Rohingya, and, you know, so we were expecting something she would change her mind. But on the second day, when she read her presentation, you know, she was just repeating whatever, you know, her military and the government claim against the Rohingya, and she was just saying blaming all the insurgency attack, and, you know, she was also blaming this Rakhine Buddhist insurgency group. And all the things are like, you know, completely, you know, the lie she has presented there. And we could see a clear picture that she is not going to stand for justice. And she is trying to get more public support. And, you know, she was defending the military, and she has denied and dismissed the credible report of the UN fact-finding mission. And also she has denied and dismissed the genocide.
Yeah. In her testimony, Suu Kyi said that the military attacks against the Rohingya, in her words, she called them counterinsurgency operations against the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, not an act of genocide. What do you make of that defense? Do you think it's misleading?
Yeah, it is misleading by herself. But, you know, like, if we talk about the Rohingya genocide, we have to start from the 1978. Because, you know, before 1978, Rohingya were regarded as a full citizen. And also the term Rohingya was officially recognized, and it was official ethnic group in Burma. But in 1974, the military regime, you know, they have launched the operation called Jasmine, and they have taken away all the national identity card from the Rohingya. And 4 years later, they have launched a big operation like they have launched in 2017. And as a result, 270,000 had to flee to Bangladesh. But they were repatriated a few months later. They were driven out as illegal immigrant from Bangladesh, but, you know, they were repatriated as a Rohingya. I still have many documents, you know, they have issued at the reception center at the border. So again, in 1991, the same same operation they have launched, and about 300,000 had to flee to Bangladesh. Some of them are still remaining in Bangladesh, and they were joined by the 750,000 in 2017 and about 93,000 in 2016. So they have been, the military and the government have been targeting the Rohingya since 1978. And in 1992, the military regime imposed the several restrictions against the Rohingya. It is same like, the apartheid in South Africa. Rohingya cannot move from one village to another. Even the 3-4 minute walking distance need the special permission from the village authority. We didn't have the access to the education and, the very limited access to the healthcare. And there are the birth restriction, marriage restriction, everything are in place. And in Rakhine State, there are different ethnic minority living in Rakhine Buddhists, and there are Marmaji, there are Dainet, there are Heidu as well. They are not persecuted, they can move freely from here to there. But if one Rohingya go out from their home, immediately he or she will face with this Boragat police or the military. And then, there will be the torture or the harassment or the sexual abuse, everything facing, So we are targeted, as a whole or, individually, all the time we are targeted. So they have the intent, to destroy this whole community. That is why today you are seeing more than 1 million Rohingya in Bangladesh. The intent is clear.
We should say, too, that Aung San Suu Kyi, she doesn't have control of the military. Of course, as you know, Myanmar has a long history of coups and military-run government. And only recently, in the past few years, has that begun to change, and civilians have been allowed to have some more control over civil society. Is there repercussions that she could face if she were to denounce the actions the military has taken against the Rohingya?
I think it is not true now, because the military is always claiming that, they always discuss with the Aung San Suu Kyi before they do anything. So even like, before they launched so-called clearance operation in 2016 and the 2017, they had the meeting. So it is well known to the world. And also, just they are cooperating. They are collaborating each other and they are working together.
Moving on to Aung San Suu Kyi's relationship with the Rohingya people, what was her relationship with the Rohingya while she was still a political prisoner, when she was fighting for democracy? Did she support the Rohingya people?
We knew her since 1988, since she started campaigning for the democracy. At the time, we Rohingya supported her. She also recognized us. And many Rohingya joined her party, and her party issued the party membership identity card for all the members, including the Rohingya. So as usual in Myanmar, like all the identity card, the race and the religion were mentioned. In the party membership card, the race Rohingya was mentioned. So she is well known about the Rohingya, and she had the good friendship with the Rohingya. But after she came into the office in early 2016, she was saying, not to use the Rohingya or the Bengali, but to use the Muslim Bengali immigrant from Bangladesh.
I can't even begin to imagine how surreal it must be for seeing a leader that you once revered deny your plight and the violence against the Rohingya people. How does that feel as someone who's a Rohingya in exile or other people who maybe have left the country?
We have supported her a lot, when she appeared in the public rally for the first time in Rangoon in 1988, I think in the first week of August or last week of July. I was about 10 years old. So I still remember. So all the people, the nationwide supported her, all the Rohingya supported her. We all had an expectation that one day our problem will be solved when she come into the power. Now she has the state councillor position, and she is the de facto leader, but she is trying to secure her position. She is defending the military, and she is not as a influential person. Like in Myanmar, most of the Burmese regard her like a second god. And, anyone will listen her. But, she afraid that, she will lose her vote or her position. she never tried to educate her follower. You know, she the whole country is supporting her. She has the child, and also she is a Nobel Peace Laureate. You know, this is first ever in the world history a Nobel Laureate. You know, appear at the world highest court and defending the criminal and deny and dismiss the genocide. You know, we are very much disappointed, and we are not going to expect anything from her, as it is now clear that she is part of the criminal who have committed the crime of genocide in Myanmar. She should be tried at the International Criminal Court. That is what I want to say as a Rohingya, as an activist.
In the last 20, 30 seconds we have here, what is next for the case? And when is the decision expected? And what will happen if the court finds Myanmar guilty of genocide?
The court is well informed now. They are well experienced judge. So they know what to decide. You know, nobody can influence them. So we are very much expecting that the court will issue the provisional measure sometime in next month. We really want to end this genocide. There are about 600,000 Rohingya remain in Rakhine State. They should have the freedom. Their citizenship rights should be restored, and their, you know, the human dignity should be restored immediately. So this has been happening since many years, almost four decades already. So I think this is now we are having a chance to live as a human being in our own country.
Naysan Lewin is a Rohingya activist and the co-founder of the Free Rohingya Coalition. Naysan, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.